teaching of your word, the preaching of the teaching of your word, may your word go forth, and may we receive what the Father desires for his children to hear today. May the Ruach, the Spirit, come and bring his anointing, not necessarily on the one that's speaking, but on the word is going forth that will bring life to all. And may you, Ruach, Spirit of the living God, show us how to apply your word to our hearts, minds, and souls, that we may be fully equipped and fed both the meat and the bread and the milk of your word. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 17, we'll be beginning at verse 14. Matthew 17:14. And today's message is entitled, Yeshua's Talmudim. Talmudim means disciples. Trust must grow. Now, most of your translations state this, it is faith, okay? But what is trust? Trust is actually the action of faith being lived out. Because I've been asked this many, many times, do you have faith in Yeshua, he'll accomplish all that he desires to do in your life? And you know what from the heart jumping out of me saying to everyone? Absolutely. I believe that my faith is there. But it's amazing. Once there's something that comes before me, like a mountain or something else, that I proclaim my faith, I proclaim that I do believe that Yeshua is faithful, but it's my acting and working out that trust and actually allowing the action of not my testimony or what I hope where I am in Messiah, but actually living out that trust. Picture this, if you will. You are a young child, and you and your father have been playing this game from as long as you can remember. Usually, he'd put you on a chair, and then he would kneel down in front of you, and he'd say, go ahead and jump. I'll catch you. All right? Some of us have experienced that, right? And sometimes our dad missed. All right? But our Heavenly Father never misses. So there are times in our life when we hear the Father's voice, but he's not simply placed us on a chair, but we're standing at the top of the stairs. And we look down, and there's no lights on, but we hear the Father's voice. And we know his voice. And he says, you put your name in the blank. Jump. He says your name. Now we know it's his voice, and we know that he's been faithful to catch us every time. That's where trust comes in. And as we go through the scriptures today, and I know in the scripture, in most of your translations, it says faith. Think about trusting. Trusting is simply as a child to Abba, Father God. This is a journey that we're on together, each and every one of us in Messiah. So let us begin Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. As they came up to the crowd, a man approached Yeshua, and he knelt down in front of him and said, sir, have mercy on my son, because he is an epileptic and has such terrible fits that he often falls into the fire and into the water. I brought him to your Talmudim, your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Yeshua answered, perverted people without any trust. Some of your translations say faith. How long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? You know, in Scripture, it talks about that when the Messiah comes, he will actually mirror the example of Moshe. When I read this past time as the Lord was preparing this message, the Lord transported my mind before in the Scriptures to where Moshe was standing before that rock. And the people were complaining. And what did Moshe do? Out of anger, he struck the rock. Right? And the Lord was faithful and he brought forth the water, okay? Here's a time when Yeshua is exasperated. Oh my goodness, Rabbi, you did not say that. Yes, I did. He's being honest because he's trying to push them through that threshold of their trust, okay? Because you know what had been going on here? In another passage we'll be getting very, very soon, because we'll be going through Matthew, okay, Mark, and Luke. And why is that? Because each one of these men who were inspired by the Spirit of the living God to record this events had it from a different perspective, as the Spirit of the living God led them to proclaim, okay? And so with this, back to Moshe and Yeshua being exasperated, there are times when the Father gets exasperated with us as we continue to walk in those pet sins of our lives. Okay? The Ruach has delivered us from those sins, but you know what happens? We allow our carnal nature to rise up in us and allow us to go back down that path again. So there are times when Abba, Father God, becomes exasperated with us because he's given you the power and authority to overcome every sin. All right? And the free will, the choice is ours. Do we want to exasperate the Father? Or do we want to do what is all honoring and pleasing in his sight? Okay? And so we know the rest of the story about Moshe. He struck the rock, right? But what happened? He was not able to enter into land. Why? Because he took the exasperation where it produced sin. Now, Yeshua here is exasperated because he's not only speaking to his Talmudim, but also there are people here that Matthew does not reveal, but Mark and Luke will. There are Torah teachers here. And the Torah teachers have been arguing with the Talmudim and saying, you've cast out demons before. You've healed the sick before. Are you now walking in some type of hidden sin? And so Yeshua is dealing with everyone here, okay? So let us continue. Yeshua answered, perverted people without any trust, any faith. How long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? And he simply turns and he says these words, bring him to me. Yeshua rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, so that from that moment on he was healed. Then the Talmudim went to him privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? When Yeshua sent out the 70 early in the Gospel of Matthew, he sent them forth and he said, I give you the power and authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. All right? See, they had come so far and now they've walked up to a wall. The word that Heidi shared today about this congregation walking through a wall that is now broken down before us, that's a literal word from the Lord, okay? And let us continue with the message. So the Talmudim are standing before the wall because their comprehension, they were praying in Yeshua's name, and you know what? The results were not like they were before. All right? Trust. Are you willing to trust Abba, Father God, when you were in like circumstances that you were before and the outcome does not appear to be the best for you? Do you blame God and say, well, you failed me now and you walk away? Absolutely not. You now persevere. So let us continue here. Then the Talmudim went to him privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? He said to them, because you have little trust. Okay? Yeshua leads us to truth. The Spirit of the living God leads us to truth, right? Have you not grown in your trust and your faith in Messiah from the time you first became his Talmudim, his disciple, till today? Are there not obstacles that he allows in our lives that just seem too beyond our comprehension, that becomes like a mountain to us or like a wall? Absolutely. He allows us to be placed in these circumstances and situations so that, you know, after we've done all, we simply stand and we say, Father, now You deliver me from this situation. You remove the mountain. You remove the wall. Lord, I see a little crack in that wall. And the Lord will encourage you, by faith, go and put your hand on that wall. And what happens? The wall, the crack begins. Grow. And then there's a breakthrough. So let us continue here. He said to them, because you have such little trust. Yes, I tell you that if you have trust as tiny as a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Indeed, nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. Okay? What do we see time and time again? Yeshua, part of his preparation of going and doing the Father's will. He would go alone and he would spend time in the presence of the Father. And he would spend time fasting. All right? You know what's beautiful about fasting? All the cares of the world are set aside. Okay? And you know what happens? Our carnal nature comes roaring up inside of us. Have you ever fasted before? Have you ever been inspired of the Lord to fast? And you know what? You hate every second of it. I have. But you know, after that period of time, whether it's a day, 2 days, or a week, or more, there will be a time when you hit that wall where there may be bitterness building in your heart. You're hungry, all right? But then there comes the breakthrough. And then you're walking in the Spirit as never before. You hear the Father's voice, and then you're equipped to do the Father's will. Prayer and fasting as the Spirit of the living God leads us into. Because I encourage everyone who's hearing this message now, both later on the podcast and those today, be instructed and be led by the Spirit when you are to fast. It is not to be wearing a badge of honor for your self-righteousness. That's a holy obligation unto the Lord. But you know what's beautiful in the scripture? Ralph Schulwell said this, pray without ceasing. All right? But there are times when the Lord desires for us to enter into prayer and fasting so that we can be focused. Daniel, who is Daniel, when he needed a spiritual breakthrough in the society that he was living in, what did he enter into? Prayer and fasting. And the Lord sent deliverance to him. So let us continue now. Now let us now turn to the Gospel of Mark. A different perspective, okay? Now Mark was not there when this event took place. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. See, when we want to truly understand what trusting means, we have to look up in the scripture where it's even mentioned. And to hear it time and time again. Because what happens is that trust is built up when we hear the faithfulness of God and that others who have come before us trusting him. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when they got back to the Talmudim, what's this referring to? It's referring to this. Last Shabbat message was this. Yeshua's Shekinah, his Shekinah glory was revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who was there? It was Kepha, Yohanan, okay, and Yaakov, Jacob, were the three Talmudim with him. And who appeared with Yeshua but Eliyahu and Moshe, okay? And so they were coming from a mountaintop experience. So the Torah teachers were not rebuking the 12 Talmudim, the 12 disciples, but only 9. So let us continue here. And when they got back to the Talmudim, the rest, they saw a large crowd around them. And some Torah teachers were arguing with them. They were in their face and saying, look, people, these guys are false followers of Abba, Father God. They were able to heal in the past, but look at now. Their teaching, their preaching is of no avail. Come back to us. There's a power struggle going on here, okay? Continue, verse 15. As soon as the crowd saw him, Who's the him? But Yeshua. They were surprised and they ran out to meet him. Okay? And who were leading the way? The other nine. The other nine Talmudim. Because you know what? They were facing a wall. They had no answer, legitimate answer, for the Torah teachers or for the people that were there. What was in the balance? The kingdom of God. Was it going to move forward or was it going to cease right then and there? Okay, so let us continue here. Verse 16. He asked them, who's the he, Yeshua? He asked them, what is this discussion about? Okay, he wasn't there. All right, so continue. Verse 17. One of the crowd gave the answer. He says this, Rabbi. Now in Matthew, it says that this man addressed Yeshua as sir. Okay, Rabbi, I brought my son to you because he has an evil spirit in him. Okay? Matthew did not testify to that, but Mark here does, giving us further insights. He has an evil spirit in him that makes him unable to talk. All right? Matthew left that out. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God desired for him to do so. So let us continue. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground and he foams at the mouth. Matthew did not record this, but Mark is giving us further details. And he grinds his teeth and he becomes stiff all over. I asked your Talmudim, your disciples, to drive the spirit out, but they couldn't. How did this man know that the Talmudim, the disciples, had this authority and power? Because they had done it in the past. And not only the 12, there were other 70 Talmudim. And those people who were into numbers, notice this, there were 12 here. Where were the others, the 70 that was added onto the 12? See, Yeshua, as he was building his kingdom, there were people who were fair-weathered Talmudim. All right? When everything's going well, okay, they want to follow and serve with Yeshua. Abba, Father's God's will. But there are times when others flee. That's where we to be what? Be led by the Spirit of the living God. Be led by our shepherd's voice. All right? So continuing here. He becomes stiff all over, and I asked your Talmudim to drive the spirit out, but they couldn't do it. Then he says, people without any trust. He, Yeshua, responded, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. Now, I'm going to go into detail because it said perverted generation, some translations. Yeshua describes, this is commentary now, insight, definition. Yeshua describes us or the world system as perverse. That word means distorted or twisted, even twisted in two. Abba, Father's God's plan is perfect. It was wonderful. That is what he established. And that what is what sin and rebellion and Hasatan specialize in. Twisting God's word to the point that we can't even recognize it anymore. Are we to trust Abba, Father, God in all things? Are we to go by our comprehension or by our experiences? So continuing here. Hasatan distorts, and he has been perverting what Abba, Father, God's ways. His heart's desire is to destroy Abba, Father's perfect intent. Think of the Garden of Eden. That was a perfect place. What did Hasatan do? He used the serpent to bring in what? Doubt. Not trust of Yeshua Adonai's relationship with Hava, which is Eve, and Adam. You see, it's a breaking of trust. Continuing, a key verse that we need to memorize regarding how a believer is to deal with Hasatan is Yaakov, James 4:7. And I'll just relate this to you. Submit to Abba, Father, God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary. Who's Hasatan? The devil. He's the adversary. And he will flee from you. Notice the order. It is crucial that you must submit to Abba, Father God, with regard to your sin, okay, or false belief. Then and only then can you resist Hasatan, the adversary, the devil. Because if you don't submit to Abba, Father God, you're then on Hasatan's side. If you're not willing to trust him. There's a division here. Either you're walking in trust, because we can proclaim that we walk by faith, right? But when we face that mountain or when there's a wall that's barricading us, are we going to press through? Are we going to persevere in trusting? Even though we do not see anything changing, we don't feel anything, are we going to press on? Continuing. But once you submit to Abba, Father God, you do now have the power to resist Hasatan. And when you do this, he shall have no other choice but to flee from you. Okay? So this is why the confession of sin and the renunciation of false beliefs are so terribly important for believers today. It is often the key to deliverance. Yohanan, John 1:9 declares, and it says this, if we acknowledge our sins, then since he is trustworthy and just, he will forgive them and he will purify us from doing all wrong things. All right? So that's part of the background that's going on here, okay? So let's get back to Mark here. People without any trust, he, Yeshua, responded, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? And then he says, bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him, and as soon as the spirit, the unclean spirit, saw him, saw whom? Saw Yeshua. He threw the boy into a convulsion. Yeshua asked the boy's father, okay? Notice this, Yeshua is in control, all right? If there was an individual right now who is on the ground and they're going through convulsions, all right? They're grinding their teeth. They're foaming at their mouth, all right? We don't have someone here, those who are listening on the podcast, okay? This is simply an example, all right? Most likely the leadership would immediately run over to that individual and deal with the situation. But notice what Yeshua does. He now turns because what he's trying to do now, he's trying to draw out faith, okay? The Talmudim do not possess the trust and faith to believe for deliverance, okay? So now he turns to the one person that came before him and said, Rabbi, deliver my son. Here's a person now who's stating to Yeshua, I trust in the kingdom that you have been established, in the way of Abba, Father God, okay? So that's why Yeshua, he then says this. He says, how long has this been happening to him? Ever since childhood, he said, the father. And it often tries to kill him by throwing him into the fire, into the water. See, the spirit desire to kill this young boy was not revealed in the book of Matthew. Let's continue verse 23. Yeshua said to him, what do you mean? If I can. Everything is possible to someone who has trust. And so what he's doing right now is the father is right before the wall, okay? Who are these people who are now in a argument, in a debate, are the Talmudim and the Torah teachers, right? Is his son getting relief? Is he getting delivered? Absolutely not. So Yeshua walks the father up to the wall, who's now the spirit, that unclean spirit, all right? And now he's asking the father to express his trust. Put his trust in the one that will bring deliverance, okay? Verse 24, instantaneously the father of the child exclaimed, I do trust. Help my lack of trust. Have you ever been at the wall? Have you ever been standing before that mountain that you're so terrified because it's in the way? You know you have to go above the mountain to get on the other side where the Lord desires you, for you to go. And so what he's doing is he's being honest before Yeshua, who he calls his rabbi, okay? Here's now a brand new potential Talmudim, disciple of Yeshua, okay? And so he's asking him now to simply trust. But he's saying to his rabbi, he's saying this, but I trust, but I'm feeling doubt enter in. Have you ever had that in your life? I have. I'd be a liar if I did not tell you the truth right now. There have been times when the Lord has asked me to go and serve him here, there, and other places, and I've been in fear until I've allowed that fear to be replaced with God's peace and his provision. So let's move now forward. Verse 25, when Yeshua saw the crowd was closing in on him, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and never go back into him again. Shrieking and throwing the boy into a violent fit, it came out. You know why that violent fit came? Because that demon, that unclean spirit, did not want to relinquish his property, which the boy became. All right? We're not to fear demons, all right? We're to call upon the angels of the Lord to do battle against demons, and we're to pray. Because you know what? I cannot fight with the demon. All right? It's impossible. All right? I'm not up to it. God has desired for me to enter into prayer, to cast out demons in Yeshua's name, but not to go toe-to-toe with them. All right? Who was designed and equipped to war with demons? Angels. All right? Let's get this in a proper perspective here. Okay? That's a realm I cannot enter into. Okay? But when they come into our realm, we have provision to rebuke them in Yeshua's name, all right? And Yeshua gives us an example. There'll be sometimes where you'll be facing a demon and you'll proclaim in Yeshua's name to get out and they won't leave. So what are we to do? What's the scripture say? We're to enter into prayer and fasting, okay? So let us continue here. Shrieking and throwing the boy into a violent fit, it came out. Then the boy lay there like a corpse, so that most of the people said that he was dead. But Yeshua took him by the hand and raised him to the feet, and he stood up. After Yeshua had gone indoors, his Talmudim, okay, asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He said to them, this kind of spirit can only be driven out by prayer, okay? Notice fasting was left out. And notice in this report here that Yeshua went into a building, okay? The other, Matthew said that they just went privately, okay? Now let us turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 37. So we get even further revelation. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. The next day, as they were coming down out of the hill country, a large crowd met him. And suddenly a man shouted, okay? Rabbi, look at my son, I beg you, because he's my only child. See, Matthew and Mark did not reveal that to us, that this is his only son. Verse 39. What happens is this. The spirit seizes him, and suddenly it lets out a shriek, okay? All right? Remember this. When that spirit came upon the boy could not speak. All right? So this demonic spirit was taking over that child's tongue, okay? His power of speech. It lets out their shriek and throws him into convulsions with the foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty will it leave him. It is destroying him. So you know what? This boy is not possessed by this demon. This demonic spirit comes from time to time. How do we know this? What does the scripture say? Here, only with difficulty will it leave him. All right? And it is destroying him. That's the Father's testimony. Verse 40, I asked your Talmudim to drive the spirit out, but they couldn't. Perverted people, remember this, twisted. Why? Because their interpretation and theology of the power and trust that they're to have in God was twisted by what? By Hasatan. He's the author of confusion and deception, and he's the father of lies. Okay? Perverted people without any trust, Yeshua answered, how long will I be with you? How long do I have to put up with you? Bring your son here. Verse 42, even as the boy was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground and threw him into a fit. But Yeshua rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. Verse 43, all means the Torah teachers that were trying to put down Yeshua and establishing Abba, Father God's kingdom, all the people that were the audience of the great crowd, and all the disciples were amazed at the greatness of Abba, Father God. Notice this. As Yeshua did the Father's will, who received the glory? Yeshua didn't. It was Abba, Father God. And that's why the scripture declares the works that we do, all right? We are to lift up the Father and to establish his kingdom, okay? So continuing here. So what is troubling the Talmudim in Matthew 17? Yeshua answered, it was how small their trust was. In Matthew 10, it declares that Yeshua called his 12 Talmudim and gave them authority to drive out all unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and weakness. How often do we see Abba, Father, God's people struggling because of how small their trust is? See, our trust must grow. It must develop in Messiah. Matthew 6:13 declares, the grass of the field has clothes, okay? But we worry about what we're to wear, right? So he declares this, we are to put our trust in him, in everything. Matthew 8:28, they are in the boat. Yeshua is now rebuking the winds and the waves, all right? He said, you're so full of fear that you have little trust in me. And what did he do? He simply stood up and spoke to the wind and the waves, and it ceased, okay? So you see, increment upon increment, they were growing as new babes in Messiah. So are we. In Matthew 14:31, saving Kepha, Peter, who stepped out of the boat when he saw Yeshua coming, okay, from sinking. What was his words to him? You have such little trust. Why do you doubt in me? He took him by the hand and brought him immediately into the boat. Matthew 16:8, such little trust because you do not have bread with you. What did Yeshua did among the Gentile nations that he was proclaiming that day? He multiplied the fish and the bread, okay? Yeshua challenges his Talmudim by comparing their trust to a mustard seed. It is not only a small in size of the seed that is important. It is the fact that the seed has life within it. I have to repeat that one more time. It is not only that the size of the seed that is important. It is the fact that it has life in it. Your trust, your faith is living. It's alive. We're to cultivate that trust and faith that we have in Messiah. All right? Continuing, our trust must be believing and active, okay? Because there are people who say, well, we have faith, we have trust in Messiah, but are they walking in the calling that God has placed upon their life? Are they building his kingdom? Are they using his gifts to build the body of Messiah? It must be growing. It takes time and cultivation for a seed to grow. So too will our trust. The reason that we don't move mountains is because our trust must be in proportionate to the task before us, okay? Just as that father said this, I trust, but help me in my trust, okay? We as a people can be honest and transparent before the Lord because he sees when those doubts come, then we say, Lord, I'm beginning to doubt. Deliver me from my doubts. Okay, that is a mature believer who's able to look in his Messiah's eyes and say, I'm beginning to doubt. God sees what's going on our hearts. Let's stop playing games with him. Continuing. That reason is that the problem here is an unclean spirit was bigger than their trust. Could their appraisal of themselves be that they had reached their peaks of spiritual maturity and they'd become lazy? Well, In the past, we simply declared, in Yeshua's name, get out. But it didn't work this time. We must continue to grow spiritually and thereby grow in our trust and faith if we're going to be able to move mountains, okay? Now, you know what's beautiful about the land of Israel? There are many mountains there. How many mountains are there in Minnesota? Zero. We got big hills, all right? So literally, this mountain that Yeshua was speaking of, they could see mountains all around them, all right? And there are situations in our lives that appear to be mountains, okay? But we have to take whose perspective? Abba, Father, who created the mountains? Who has created and allowed all the obstacles in our lives? But Yeshua, amen? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yaakov, James declares this. Thus, by trust and by itself, accompanied by actions, without being accompanied by actions, is dead. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will level your paths. And you know, I enjoy the Complete Jewish Bible, because other translation, it says, make your path straight, right? But where were they living? They were living in the mountainous areas, okay? When you're going up a mountain, sometimes you have to do what? You have to do switchbacks, right? Okay? So your paths are not straight going up and down that mountain, are they not? But what if they're leveled? You're more likely not to fall off that mountain. So I enjoy this translation. That's what's beautiful about the scripture. You got to look at it from different perspectives, okay? Galatians 6, 9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is good, for if we do not give up, we will in due time reap the harvest. You know what the Satan believes? He believes this, that if he continues to put walls before us and obstacles, we will simply give up and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. Surrendering means walking away from the situation. I can't serve you anymore. I'm just going to surrender. But you know what we should do? We should surrender our trust in that, declaring to the Lord, I am now lacking my trust and my faith in you. Because then Yeshua will bring us a victory. Last two verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And you, my brothers and sisters, who are doing what is good, do not slack off. Just continue doing whatever Abba, Father God has told you to do. Whatever you do in trust and faith, do not undo in doubt. When does Satan get the victory? Is when we start doubting. When Moshe was standing before the people and Joshua was leading the army, and Moshe's hands were up and raised to the Lord, the battle was being won, but as he became weak, the enemy started gaining the victory. So the two individuals came beside him, and they propped up his arms for a while. But if you read the scripture closely, they piled stones of testimony underneath his arms. And Israel gained the victory. So should we. Finishing on Messianic Jews, okay, trusting is being confident of what we hope, for convinced that all things we do are not done by sight. So we are to persevere without stopping, pray without ceasing. This is a sign that you are maturing in your trust and faith. And our enemy, Hasatan, is betting that we will just give up. Stay focused on Yeshua, and he and you shall walk in his victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.